Chapter 28. The first book Grayson read cover to cover was The Little Engine That Could. It took almost an hour and was the climax of a long evening of effort. At the end, the old man was sweating and exhausted. The kid's reaction surprised him. He didn't jump and yippee like he did after the first sentence. He just stayed in the far corner, seated on a stuffed and lumpy equipment bag. He'd kept his distance all during the reading, letting Grayson know there would be no cheating. He had to do it on his own. Now he was just staring at Grayson, a small smile coming over his face. And now he was making a fist and clenching it toward Grayson. And he said, "Amen." "What's that?" "Amen." "What's that for? Who prayed?" "I learned it in the church I used to go to. You don't have to wait for a prayer. You say it when somebody says something or does something you really like." He hopped off the bag, thrust both hands to the ceiling, and shouted, "Amen." And suddenly, kid was hugging him, squeezing with the power you'd never expect or never suspected was in that little body. Unless you had seen him pull a baseball almost to the trees in dead center field. "Okay," said Maniac, clapping his hands. "What'll it be? I'll be the cook. Whatever you want." Maniac had a toaster oven now, compliments of his whiskered friend. In fact, little by little, Grayson had brought him a lot of things. A chest of drawers for his clothes, a space heater, a 2-foot refrigerator, hundreds of paper dishes and plastic utensils, blankets, a mat to sleep on, which the kid ignored, preferring the chest protectors. In time, the place was homier than his own room at the Y. "How about a corn muffin?" said Grayson, choosing something easy on his bad teeth and aching gums. Maniac went to the bookcase that served as a pantry. "One corn muffin coming up. Toasted? Yeah, why not? Butter? Sure, butter. Something to drink with that, sir?" "Nah, muffin's enough." "The apple juice is excellent, sir. It was a great year for apples." "Live it up," thought Grayson. "Yeah, okay, apple juice." "Coming right up, sir." After the snack, the kid proved himself as good a mind reader as a cook. "Why don't you stay over? Or why don't you stay overnight?" he said. "It's late." While he groused about so preposterous an idea, the kid laid down the mat he never used, bulldogged him down on it, pulled off his shoes, and draped a blanket over him. He protested, "This is supposed to be yours." The kid patted the chest protectors. "I'm okay. I'm okay." And he knew that was the truth of it. The old man gave himself up willingly to the exhaustion and drifted off like a lazy, sky-high fly ball. Something deep in his heart, unmeasured by his own consciousness, soared unburdened for the first time in 37 years. Since the time he had so disgraced himself before the Mudhen Scout and named himself thereafter a failure. The blanket was there, but it was the boy's embrace that covered and warmed him. "When somebody does something you really like, amen," the old man whispered into the cornmeal and baseball-scented darkness. So, you know, I want to pause because I think this is a pretty cool section here. So, like I said, we are co-creating this list of evidence to support the author's line of thinking. So in this section of the text, how does this section of the text continue to prove the author's message that it's good to help others? Again, what example do we have here? I want you to go ahead and push pause, and I want you to think about that. If you need to, you can go ahead and back up and re-listen to that section of the podcast too. You know, not only do you have the power of pause, but you got that slider bar where you can go ahead and back up and listen again. So again, how does this section of the text continue to prove the author's message? You know, what example do we have there? Go ahead and push pause now, think about it, and add it to your line of thinking. All right. Welcome back. I hope you added some stuff to your line of thinking there. I think there was some pretty good examples in there. Right? And I look forward to hearing what you put in your notebook. I'll have that on our question of the days and our daily check-in as well. All right, moving on. Chapter 29. For most of November, winter toyed with two mills, whispered in its ear, tickled it under the chin. On Thanksgiving Thursday, winter kicked it in the stomach. But that didn't stop the old man and the boy from joining the 10,000 who thronged to the stadium on the boulevard to see the traditional high school football game. The Arctic air laid panes of ice over the crayfish edge poles of Stony Creek. The effort, or the effect, was the opposite on human noses. Maniac and Grayson's ran like faucets, and not a handkerchief in sight. They deputized their sleeves and grabbed handfuls of napkins from the refreshment stand. Two Mills won the game thanks to a last-minute 73-yard TD pass from quarterback Dennehy to James Hands Down. From the instant his old trash-talking Sandlot pal cradled the ball in his long brown fingers, Maniac was jumping on his seat, screaming trash at Hands pursuers every step to the goal line and glancing about to make sure Mrs. Beal wasn't hearing. By the time they got back to the baseball room, they were nearly frozen. But the freeze was good, for it made the warmth of the little apartment all the more welcome. Within 15 minutes, the space heater had the place positively tropical, while in the toaster oven, their 5-pound Thanksgiving chicken was already beginning to brown. The pair of hot plates and a squad of pots were pressed into action, and by mid-afternoon, the two were sitting down to a feast of roast chicken, gravy, cranberry sauce, apple sauce, SpaghettiOs, raisins, pumpkin pie, and butterscotch crimpets. Maniac thought of Thanksgiving's past, of sitting around a joyless table, his aunt and uncle as silent and lifeless as a mammoth bird they gnawed on. He said this grace, "Dear God, we want to take this opportunity to thank you for the best Thanksgiving dinner we ever had. Well, I ever had. I guess I shouldn't speak for my friend Grayson." He peeked across the table. "Grayson," he whispered, "is this your best one too?" The old man opened one eye. He shrugged. "Don't know. Ain't tasted it yet." Maniac glared, rolled his eyes upward, hissed, "Grayson?" The old man flinched. Yeah. He squinted one eye at the chicken. "Yeah, I guess it is." "The best?" Maniac prompted. "The best." Maniac went on. "And we want to thank you for this warm house and for our own little family here and for Grayson learning to read. He's already read 13 books, and I'm sure you already know, as I'm sure you already know. And one more thing. If you could find some way to let the Beal family know I'm wishing them a happy Thanksgiving, I'd really appreciate it. They're the ones on 728 Sycamore Street, in case there's any other Beals around. Amen." "Amen," said Grayson. They stuffed themselves silly, then collapsed and listened to polka music. Grayson had brought over a record player a week before, along with his entire music collection, 31 polka records. Grayson loved polkas. Of course, one cannot listen to polka music for long before getting up and dancing, which is what the two Thanksgivingers did as soon as their bloated stomachs allowed. They danced and they laughed, record after record. Whether it was the polka that they danced is another question. I got a quick question. How many of you know what polka music is? I tell you what, if I remember, I'll go ahead and add that to today's blog. That'll be interesting. I grew up listening to that on Sunday mornings. By the way, I don't want to listen to it anymore. But I'll let you hear what some of that music sounds like. Continuing on. It was nearly dark, both of them having recollapsed when Maniac said, "Is there any paint around?" Guess so, said Grayson. What for? You'll see. Can you get some and a brush? The old man dragged himself out. What color? How about black? 5 minutes later, the old man was back. Got brown. That'll do? Fine, said Maniac. He opened the can, stirred the paint, put a jacket on, grabbed the brush, and went outside. Grayson followed. He watched the kid paint on the outside of the door in careful strokes. 101. Maniac stepped back, admiring his work. 101, he proclaimed. 101 Banshell Boulevard. All right, again, I want you to, we're going to go ahead and pause here, obviously, and I want you, you know, this is another powerful section of the text here, and my question to you is, how does this section of the text continue to prove the author's message of, you know, it's good to be kind and help other people out? So, you know, what example do we have in this section? And that's going to be our third entry on page 19 of our line of thinking. So, wrapping up here, today and every day when you read, you know, I want you to go ahead and look for evidence that supports this line of thinking in whatever book you're reading, because, you know, authors, what they, you know, one of the basic truths of literature, any type of good literature, is, you know, I should be better off for having read that. You know, it teaches me something. And that's what we're trying to pay attention to today and for the next couple of days here, is collecting evidence and trying to understand what Jerry Spinelli, the author, is trying to teach us. Okay, I hope you enjoyed today's reading, and until next time, peace.